Greetings to all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless His word. Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us this evening. As we stand before Your holy presence in this day of the Lord, Father, we pray, Lord, that Your anointing to come upon us, Lord, as we begin to understand the secrets and the glory and the majesty of Your word, Father. We just pray and ask You, Lord, that You begin to, Father, minister unto each and every one of us in a very special way. In Jesus' name, Amen. We are hoping to complete this study today, the body of Christ, and commence a new series from next Sunday, God willing. I think, brothers and sisters, last Sunday, we dwelled on a very, very important and a very significant areas of what God deals with, particularly when it comes to the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is important here is what we presented here last Sunday was the difference between the Christianity and the Christian world and the bride of Christ. And you remember we presented here, as the Lord showed to us, the anointing. The anointing that God gives the bride of Christ will lead her beyond the status of average Christians that you find in the Christian world, in the denominational Christianity. So what happens here, what we find is, the anointing is, there's a difference of the anointing, the bride's anointing, and the anointing of the others. He explained to you the anointing of Saul and the anointing of David, how significantly different those two anointings. Whereas Saul was able to go to a certain distance in fulfilling what God has given to him, but at a very crucial point that he fails the commandments of God, failing to understand the full revelation what God has designed to him. In fact, when God told Saul, destroy everything, he kept a small portion and he said it is for the sacrifice, and then tried to justify that. Whereas you find David, that anointing has given him more than insight to the things of the kingdom of God. A man who had written the majority of the Psalms, or the book of Psalms. And he was able to see things in the future because of the anointing that he received. And that's exactly the anointing of the bride of Jesus Christ. The Bible says very clearly, the anointing that you receive will lead you to all truth and able to understand what the Lord has designed for. And that's the difference what we are talking about. We find some people are stalled at various points where the bride goes from glory to glory understanding the divine truth. The second day we also explained to you the difference between the bride of Christ or the true body of Christ, which displays the love of God, which is a sacrificial love, the agape. Whereas it is not filio that is presented in the other places. The agape is a sacrificial love. And that is what the true church will display. That is exactly what happened in the day of Pentecost. When the anointing came upon the apostles, they were willing to give up everything that they hold on to, where they said, this is our treasure. They gave up those. And they were willing to even for die for the Lord Jesus Christ because of the anointing got them into the agape, which was not there before. So I think tonight we will go a little bit beyond. And also we also explained to you the other important thing is the bride of Christ will progressively go to the unity of faith, means that she will begin to understand the great expectations that the Lord has for you and for me from His word. Just to refresh our minds, what we spoke last, this aspect. Now we know here in Ephesians what we talk about, the fivefold ministry. See, the fivefold ministry is a gift by the Lord. He worked for that. You know, the Lord worked towards that. He was able to give this fivefold because He has to descend and release them, and He has to ascend, and then He gave the gifts. Then He gave this fivefold ministry, and the Bible says very clearly, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we have the body of Christ, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, this fivefold ministry is given. Now, in the 13th verse of the chapter 4, it is starting, till we all come into the unity of faith. First is the unity of faith. Second is the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. Now there are few things in this 13th verse. When he says till, means we are in a status, but we have to attain that. The fivefold ministry is the responsibility of them is to bring the body of Christ to that status in a process of time. That's what it says, start with till. The bride of Christ would come to the full unity of faith. Its unity of not faith is not referring to all these denominations, everybody coming together. No. When they begin to see the word from the standpoint or viewpoint of the Lord, from the very understanding the what God expected you and me to know from the truth, that is what unity of faith is. The knowledge of the Son of God. When you say knowledge of the Son of God, very often many people don't have the proper knowledge of the Son of God. Like Paul, like Peter, when Jesus asked him, do you agape me? He said, I filio you. So he did not have the full knowledge of the Son of God. But when you have the full knowledge of Son of God, you know that He died for you. It is the, you understand who He is. In fact, this morning I asked, what does the Lord means to you? What does the Lord Jesus Christ means to you personally, individually? You know, have you ever asked, if anybody asks you that question, what does the Lord means to you? You know, a lot of people say various few things. He's our Savior, He's our God, He's our Redeemer, He's our so-and-so, He's our so-and-so, and so forth and so forth. People will say, if I ask you the question, what does the Lord means to you? But what very often people do not remember is, or remember or realize is, that He is our life. He is our life. Of course, He is a Savior. He is a Redeemer. But what happens is, when you ask a question, what does He mean to you? He is our life. Isn't that true? He is our life. And that's what Peter says, that if we know that He is our life, everything else is insignificant around us. That's what very often many denominations present Him, a Jesus little bit shorter than what He is. You know, many people put Him as a shorter than what He really is. But He is much bigger than what many people put Him. People like Him to maintain as a Savior or a healer or Redeemer. But you remember that He is the life. Jesus says, I am the life. Yes, He is the life. So when you know Him, you know the life. When you have a knowledge of the Son of God, everything that originate of the life will come to know, you come to know. Anything, everything that deals with life. Because God is the source of life. So when you come to the knowledge of the Son of God, that you open the fountains of life. Because he told the woman of Samaria, the water that you drink, you will thirst again. But I will give you water which is living water or life. Abundant life. So he is my life. He is my life. Of course he is my Savior, Redeemer, all that is. But first of all he is my life. Without him there is no life for me. And that's what exactly Peter realized subsequently. When he realized he is my life, then everything else changes. Everything that we treasure and we loved and keep it begin to change. Our perception, our attitude would change when we know that he is my life. And that's the knowledge that you and I been taken by the fivefold ministry. Then also, we are being, the fivefold ministry take us towards perfect man. We are like an uncut gem. And the fivefold ministry deal with the word of God. And present until everything is chipped off, which is not of God. Which is not of what God designed for you and me. Like Michelangelo chipping off that marble pillar pieces, that the fivefold ministry would be, the responsibility would be, when he see the body of Christ chipping off which is not of it, and bring it to that perfection. And therefore we have to ask a question from the people who are representing the fivefold ministry, whether they are really fulfilling that aspect. Or when they do a sugar-coated pill, when they try to say things, when they will not say things that will hurt the people, and the next Sunday they will not come. They are worried about that. So there is no possibility of getting the perfection in the body of Christ. Of course, chipping off will result in pain. And that's why it is perfection will only achieve through that. The fivefold ministry will fulfill that. They will say also the things like Jesus said, the difficult things, a thing which is not rosy, they will say. But you will not hear that in the traditional denominational Christianity, because they will not work on that aspect. Then unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Measure is the weight. The stature is the what you looked. Now when you see, you can see my stature, but you don't know my measure. When I get to a scale, only my measure is realized. So what happens is there are so many aspects that God has to work in me in every aspect. So the fivefold ministry, true fivefold ministry, would work on that in every detail. So the word perfecting speaks of work of progress. It is something in action, something that is going on, something that is bringing something to final state as a perfect object or a thing. On the other hand, edifying speaks of being lifted up. Edifying does not leave you in dark, neither should you leave it in question. It brings you into a realm of information. That's what the bride of Christ received from through the fivefold ministry. When the body of people sitting together in heavenly place in Christ Jesus, they will see things of the kingdom and they will see eye to eye with one another in the body. You see, what you see would be felt and reflected and the impact created in the body all the time, everyone. When you see the things of the word, when people begin to sit in unity, it is going to create an atmosphere where beauty of God's holiness is experienced. The true unity of faith is when people are united to understand what's God's divine design for his children. You see, we know that when God created Adam, in him we were all there. That's what he told him, to be fruitful and multiply. You and I were inside him, Adam. But when we were inside him, and Lord seen all of us in Adam, he knows your name, because the Bible says your name is written in him before the foundation. That means even before Adam was there, he knew who we are. So what happens here, when we begin to understand the word, you know, remember that when you talk about the word, always remember it is the thought in action. It is the logos. The word means the logos, means the thought in action. Jesus was the logos, the word made flesh. And we are the flesh now, and we receive the word. That's why the unity of faith is when we receive the word, the Lord opens us the understanding, His divine design. His divine design for you and me, which is the ultimate objective. It is only by leading of the Holy Spirit the body of Christ begin to collectively come together and understand the scriptures. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. If you are a child of God, He will take you and put you where you are, exactly where you are supposed to be in the family of God. If you are a true child of God, whom God has chosen before the foundation, through some way that the Lord would work with, the engineer, the circumstances, the situations, and finally that you would be come to the fullness of understanding that God's divine plan and take your position in the family, in the body of Christ. The God would bring a nucleus of people out of the denominational system and begin to put them on a pathway till they all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, measure, stature, and the fullness. You see, when the Lord, when the scripture is written, is presented, I mean, you find the Lord, there is an order. Unlike we, there is absolute order. One by one. When you come to the unity of faith, means you begin to understand the God's divine design for you. And when you understand God's divine design for you, you also understand, in order to bring you back to that original design, the role that the Lord Jesus Christ played. The knowledge of Him. You begin to know Him. That sacrifice He made. What He means to you. And then, when you get to that status, step by step, you will come to the perfection, and you then come to the measure and the stature and the fullness. And that's exactly we concluded last Sunday. He says, Romans 8, and we know that all things work together. Remember this scripture very well. We know all things work together for good to them that agape God is agape. Then that agape God to them who are called according to His purpose. His purpose. And He says, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. This is exactly what we are talking about. When you come to the knowledge of the Son, then you have been brought to conform to the image of His Son, that it might be among, that He might be among the firstborn among many brethren. Now we are the brethren. He is the firstborn among the many brethren. And we have to match up to that example or the role model. For whom He did predestinate, them also call. And we have been called. And whom He called, them also He justified. And we know we are being justified. And whom He justified, we are glorified. And I think this is the status that God is taking the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. This body, this group of people, He is going to glorify with His glory what He designed for you and me. Now, let us come to this today, understanding this very clearly. In book of Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7 and 8, it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Now what happens here in these two verses, Isaiah 52:7-8, stands the 2000 years of the gospel. 2000 years of the good news. In fact, Paul recorded this verse in Romans 10:15. Paul says that how shall they preach except they be sent, referring to the people who take the gospel or the ministry of the gospel, the good news. It is written how beautiful are they. Paul refers to this Isaiah 52:7 when he says it is written how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You see, when Jesus came, it was absolutely good news. And from the time of his sacrifice on the cross, and the disciples went, you remember, you see, everything in the scriptures so beautifully placed in its place. When Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he had how many baskets? 12 baskets left. And the second time he said 4,000 men, he left 7 baskets full. Right? So what happened is, that is a very clear. Now you know the bread refers to the meat or the food which is given to from the good news. Good news is that they are fed, they are given the nourishment. So when the spirit of anointing came upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost, those 12 apostles took the gospel. The 12 apostles took the gospel of salvation. The gospel of salvation, which is a good news right across the world. When they moved from Jerusalem to other places, the gospel was taken away, taken over, all over the places. And then you find a resulting in, with the apostolic work finished initially on the first aid, it charted the 7 church ages, which is also reflecting that 7 baskets that the second time when Jesus fed 4,000 people, he had 7 baskets. So in the 7-year history of 7 church ages, and each church age, God fed the group of people when they were under so many different difficulties. When God raised a messenger to each church age, and the element of people which belonged to God was given the good news when the times of darkness that prevailed. Now, our brothers and sisters, the good news have gone on this whole planet Earth for last 2000 years. Like the sowers sow the seed. And when the seed is sown, and from the second church age, we find the it is grown up. The seed has come forth, and then you find the wheat grown up to a certain status, and then side by side you find the tares also grown up. And then you find, as you go by, the Jesus talks about the harvesting time, where you harvest what is belongs to God. And that's exactly that you find in each age, that God have an element of people. If you look at the Revelation chapter 1-3, the message to each church age, where when he says to the group which belongs to God, there's a very specific thing, and say there's a message. Either he said that you will eat the manna from heaven, you would have a life, and message differs from message to message from each church. So it is harvesting goes take place in each church age in the last 2000 years. And then we come to the Isaiah chapter 52 verse 3. Then he said, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with voice together they shall sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again the Zion. He talks about the watchmen shall lift up their voice. Now this is different to the first verse. It talks about the people who bring the good news, or good news of glad tidings, and their feet. It talks about their feet, the people who bring the good news. But then when it comes to verse 8, it talks about the watchman shall lift up the voice. The time has come, the watchman is going to lift up the voice. And with voice together they are going to, with the voice together they shall sing. So there is a togetherness he is spoken here. And also this watchman, it says, they shall see eye to eye. So brothers and sisters, this talks about in the 2000 years of history of church, where we come to, the harvest is now getting close, it's almost finishing, where the watchmen begin to play a distinct role in the closing moment in the kingdom of God. In fact, it is right to say that we are living in the time of the watchmen. We are not living in the time of the glad good tidings. We are living in the time of the watchmen. We are living in the time where the watchmen begin to voice it out, and then watchman begins to, wherever they are, they may be all over this world, planet earth, from one corner to the other corner, wherever they are, what I see, what they see, every one of them see same thing. That is very important. We had little over 2000 years of the gospel of salvation preached to the world over. It brought good news to millions of people world over during this period. We are no longer living in the harvesting or the good tidings era referred in Isaiah 52:7. We are indeed living in the sorting out or separating period, where the nucleus of people around the world see the truth of the kingdom eye to eye. We are living in the time where a group of people around the planet earth who have been chosen by the Lord before the foundation separate themselves to stand with the word of God and begin to see this. In fact, it is the fulfillment of Isaiah 52, the watchman represented in the word by the fivefold ministry in this time you and I are living. The Lord is coming for His bride that is destined to rule with Him for 1,000 years. And I think that should be properly understood. The bride of Christ is going to rule with the Lord for 1,000 years as kings and priests, the Bible says. The entire fivefold ministry has the responsibility of producing a body of people which has the same anointing of the apostolic fathers. The responsibility of the fivefold ministry or the watchman is producing a group of people which has the same anointing of the apostolic fathers. The apostolic fathers produced the New Testament, the four gospels and the letters, which are foundation, which is the body of Christ come unto the measure. You see, now this Bible, the New Testament, written by the apostles. The Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And then you find the rest of the epistles, all written by the apostles. And what made them to write it? It is the anointing. It is that anointing, it was not there. They never had. Now you and I have the luxury of this. They never had that. Today we have the full Bible. But the Apostle John, Apostle Peter, all of them, they never had the Gospels. They never had the Matthew, John, all these, the Gospels were not there for them. In the first stage, they never had those. Remember that. We don't realize that. In the first stage, church never had the four Gospels and the Epistles. But they had something. What brought them that? The anointing. The anointing that God gave to them is the one that we got this today. So you can imagine the glorious anointing that these apostles had. The anointing they had, they began to write. Because the Bible said, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He will bring everything to your remembrance. You know, when Jesus was walking, there was no Matthew, Mark, they were writing it. No, they were not doing that. They may have kept few notes here and there. But I don't know whether there was a shorthand typing, there people making all the, have a diary of events and kept everything. I don't know. There is no record of it. But John said, in the concluding the Gospel of John, if I write everything, what? There are no books in this world, there to write all what he. So it was subsequently they wrote these things. When the anointing came upon, the word was made available to them. And it is the inspiring of the Holy Spirit. Now you can imagine the power of the anointing that was upon the church, upon the apostles, to write these epistles. Awesome anointing. Imagine the things they are written. Even read the Gospels. Read Mark, Matthew. Read Mark, read Luke, read John. Read those Gospels. And we don't realize the amount of insight that those authors have put in there. It has to be the anointing. Now you just think of the end time church. Imagine if we had the same anointing like the apostles. If we had the same anointing like the apostles, what would we do, you and I do? That our speaking, our talking, our sharing, our revelation would be, my goodness, it will mesh that. It has to mesh. There is no way that it is the same anointing. Because the Bible says God would restore back. He would restore everything. So, there was this apostolic teachings, what apostles presented to us, the Bible says, they are the foundations of apostles. And Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstones. And this is exactly that we would be brought back to. When the Bible says that the hearts of the children has to be turned back to the hearts of the fathers. When our hearts, who are the children, we are the children, and when we are turned to that apostolic fathers, when we have the same anointing, when you write a letter to a brother somewhere, and that would be anointed thing. When you speak to something, you know, brothers and sisters, it is going to come upon us. When you speak, When you share something, it is going to be something of much value to people. It is going to edify people. It is going to lift people. It is going to correct people. It is going to bring people to awesome presence of God. Yes. You know, when Paul wrote the epistles, when those recipients received it, Paul says, I am with you in spirit. And in other words, God's presence was there in the very word. And I told you last Sunday that we have not seen God, but we know His commandments. We know His existence because He has given us the commandments. And when we obey the commandments, we actualize Him, His presence in our lives. So brothers and sisters, just think for a moment, if you and I would have the same anointing what the apostles had at that day, who got them to write these books, the Gospels and the Epistles, which became the second part of the Bible, you can imagine the power of God that would come upon you and me. The every word that we speak would bring some awesome awareness to people. Everything that you speak and say, because you will not speak anything else, but you speak the word. It would be the ministry of the spoken word. Brothers and sisters, we have the written word. And you and I would be a part of the spoken word ministry. We speak the word, and there would be things that would take place. We could speak perfection to the lives. We can tell a brother, brother, don't do this. This is not right. And we speak with power and authority. And you would bring perfection. You would bring edification. You would bring healing. You would bring the very power of God. This is exactly what the Lord is going to restore to us. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19 to 22. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the house of God. Paul is talking to the church or the body of Christ. Are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together growth unto the holy temple of God. He talks about the body of Christ. You see, he talks about the body of Christ, and he says that we are built on the foundations of the apostles. The foundation. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. On whom the building fitly framed together for the growth unto a holy temple of God. In whom ye also built together for an habitation of God through His Spirit. That's exactly we are. We are God's habitation. We are God's habitation, and it is the very life of God that is in me and in you. And that's exactly we who are the body of Christ. Without the anointing, many will start to read one page of the book and some chapters of certain parts here and there. And they will say it is too deep, difficult to understand. We do not know everything. That is very true with many people in the Christian world. They don't read the Bible properly. And we know many denominations, they hardly read the word properly. Word has to be broken properly. Word has to be understood properly. And some people only read few favorite chapters. Psalms, Gospel of John, never touch Leviticus, never touch the book of Numbers. These days I am studying the book of Leviticus. Understanding the precepts and the ordinances that God has given in minute detail, every detail, my goodness, it's so perfect. I mean, the God's details, God is in detail. He is in detail when you read that. What happens here is, people never read those books. They just flip past that and they go back to some of the other books. Why that? Because of the anointing is not there for them. If you don't have the anointing, you would only go with that favorite verses, favorite pages, favorite parts here and there. But the Bible says that it is not meant like that for others who are the bride. You see, Peter, who failed to understand what Jesus spoke to him and said, "Do you agape me?" He didn't understand that. The man who did not understand him, when he got the anointing, you read the two epistles written by Peter, and the things that he was able to understand and comprehend. Peter, being a very ignorant, uneducated man, because the Bible says very clearly, these people are uneducated, ignorant people. You see, they knew that they are uneducated, ignorant people, but yet, when the anointing came upon Peter, and he was able to go back to the scriptures and says, this is refers to that. You understand? In the day of Pentecost, when people ask, what is this? He said, this is referred to that. To that extent, Peter was able to comprehend, being an ignorant, uneducated fisherman. Brothers and sisters, I must tell you that you and I, if we get the anointing, we are going to understand everything cover to cover of this. It's not going to be a reserved property of few individuals. It's not property of some holy men. It is the property of the bride of Christ or the body of Christ, and that you are going to understand. Because God has given a gift of the fivefold ministry, but you are going to see it, you are going to understand it. The hunger and the thirst to know the truth is not in the many people. They will only seek the Lord at their own conveniences, that we see that. We are part of the true body of Christ. When you get the opportunity to hear the truth, we receive with an excitement, and we will have an impact on us individually. When you and I receive the truth, and the excitement that would go through us, and subsequently it will create a major impact in our lives individually. So the entire true church will bear the identical nature and the character of the first church age. Brothers and sisters, I must tell you, we are not far from that. When the final anointing come upon all of us, before the ministry of the seven thunders, before the rapture, that you and I would have that anointing, that you would be speaking life to people. When you speak the word, each and every one of us, when we speak the words of edification, you speak the word with power. It is the work of the ministry that is given to you and I would be the ministry of the spoken word. That you and I would be able to speak the word. The first age church demonstrated the power of God. They demonstrated the power of God. They were full of the word of God. Brothers and sisters, they brought the New Testament to us. And brothers and sisters, we are going to bring forth that. And I told this example to you many, many times before. I want to repeat it for the clarification. The story of the butterfly
The story of the blood of Christ is absolutely story of the body of Christ. The story of the bride. The butterfly put that caterpillar on that leaf. And the caterpillar, from the day he gets out of that shell, begin to eat, shove that leaf. Non-stop eating. And as he complete day by day, every day completes the portion, doesn't leave a portion of that leaf, and come to the end, he has fully eaten, is like a bulb inside. And as the word is eaten, the transformation takes place inside. That ugly creature, the ugly looking caterpillar, as he has finished eating that leaf, it completes, some transformation takes place inside that body. And then what happens? I have seen this. I had the very good opportunity or fortune of seeing it in one day on the TV at my home when I was watching something on the National Geography. This caterpillar, how the this thing comes, some liquid comes from the mouth. It comes from the mouth, what he has eaten, and covers the body. And what comes from the mouth is apparent, it's really the wings. It comes from the mouth and covers the body, the ugly caterpillar. The ugly caterpillar's body is covered from what comes from inside of what he has eaten. And then it is covered, it is like a gum, and now he hangs on that piece. He hangs like a bulb for a couple of days, or I don't know, moments, until the following day the sun rises, and then he breaks open these wings which came out of his mouth. And the wings are open, and the sun comes on the panels, the solar panels. So brothers and sisters, what the butterfly brings from the mouth is the power where he is going to go up. This is exactly the apostles did. When the anointing came upon them, they brought the word out of them. It is the word that they brought out. And upon that word, the power, because the Bible says, the letter killeth. The black and white letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. In the same way, brothers and sisters, we are in the flesh. We are going to get the anointing like the apostles. And brothers and sisters, that's exactly when you eat the word, you take the word, it's now inside. And you're going to bring it out from yourself. You cannot speak the word unless you have it inside. You understand that? For you to speak the word, you have to receive the word. It has to be in you. It has to be part of your life. You have to speak the word. From the lips goes. And that's exactly what happens here. So they were demonstrating the power of God. The power of God was demonstrated. It was demonstrated in no uncertain terms. The very power of God was demonstrated through the ministry of the apostles. Then the very word of God was demonstrated through the apostles. And then the very nature of the Lord in their lives. So what happens to us, brothers? I must tell you, the day would come that we would look at each other and say, you look like the Lord. We will come to a date, a time in a moment, And we will first tell each other and says, "Brother, you look like the Lord." And we'll say to a sister, "You look like the Lord." And I think that's the day that it will dawn upon the church. And we are not far away if you are part of the true body of Christ. You are a person who has received the word. And that word, it is come upon you. You have to make sure that you bring that word. And wait till the day to hear that voice. I'm waiting for the day somebody in among the midst of us are going to call one another. Somebody would call me and say, "Brother, you look like the Lord." I'm not like that right now. Then I will be able to look at somebody else and say, "Brother, you look like the Lord. You have the nature and the character of the Lord." And that's only possible, brothers and sisters, when this anointing of the apostles come upon you. And then you allow, you know, you don't keep anything. Apostles never kept anything. Because they were able to bring out, they brought the Gospels in, the epistles. Because the Spirit did not give them to enjoy. "Oh my goodness, I will only have this, enjoy this revelation." You know, no. They were able to bring forth and have it for you and me. The end time fivefold ministry, the watchmen who lift up the voice together under the divine unction. They may not be people who have got the degrees in theology out of seminaries, who likes to call themselves reverend, doctor, senior superintendent, senior pastor. They may not, you know, the people who are in the fivefold ministry may not be the people who are really have that theological heights, who have the titles reverend, doctor, and various names that they are called. But they are men that have been enlightened men, whom God has dealt with them and put the big picture together in their hearts. They are people whom God has dealt with, broken by God, dealt severely by the Lord. You know, the Lord, if you and I are going to be men of God or servants of God, I can guarantee, brothers and sisters, the Lord is going to deal with us severely. Not that He is going to punish us, but He is going to enlighten us, and that will take a commitment from us. And then the Lord will put that big picture in the lives of people who are part of the fivefold ministry. They are the people that are able to see line upon line, precept upon precept of God's Holy Scriptures and show the true picture to the bride. God will have these men in the right place at the right time to the people whose names are written in heaven before the foundation of the world. Their ministry will bring harmony and unity and create great joy to the body of Christ, because they will bring enlightenment of the word and others in Christian world will not have. You see, I was talking about this precept upon precept, line upon line. Yesterday, when we had the baptism, Brother Tom was telling about this scripture on Isaiah chapter 28. Try to understand that, the scripture. Very interesting portion of scripture there. And I came back home and I was trying to understand by myself. You see and I went through all the translations and also Amplified Bible, trying to understand what the Lord is telling. But you must know this, when God gave the commandments and the statutes to Moses, Bible says He gave everything upon precept, line upon line, to the people. And that is the order of God's divine way of communicating His desire, His expectations to the Lord. Let's understand these portions. I have selected few things which will enlighten us. In Matthew 28:5 says, "In that day," referring to the future time, a future time. When He says "in that day," it's future. "Shall the Lord of the hosts be a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty unto the residue of His people. This refers to a residue of people because, you know, the children of Israel, God has given to them the commandments and statutes, but they have forsaken them. They have gone after other gods. They have polluted the land. They have gone to benefit themselves. So the Lord was really hurt with the nation of Israel. And then He was telling through Prophet Isaiah to these people, He said there would be a day in the future, there would be a residue of His people where the Lord of hosts is going to be their crown. The Lord of hosts is going to be their beauty. In the same way it is for us. There will be a residue of people. There will be residue means it's a real meaning is from the Amplified Bible. He says the converted people. Converted to what? Converted to His statutes, His commandments. And those people, He says, the Lord's beauty would be reflected. Then He says, and the spirit of judgment. That means the spirit, the same people will have the spirit of judgment, means the wisdom. To him that sitteth on judgment. This group of people who judge also would have wisdom that is given to them from God. And from strength to them that turn the battle at the gate. You know, generally the city is protected by the walls and you have the gates. And they would be given the strength to protect the. So in the same way they are also fulfill the same responsibility of the watchman. Because the spirit of God, spirit of judgment or the wisdom would come upon them. Then verse 7 it says, the Lord has pronounced certain condition here. 28:7. But they also have erred through the vine. Now referring to the priest and the prophet of God whom He has ordained to guide the nation of Israel. But they also have erred through wine, through strong drinks out of the way. They are drink out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through the strong drinks and they are swallowed up in the wine and they are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. And they stumble in judgment. Now what happens is these prophets of that day who needs to guide the nation of Israel, the priests who used to fulfill the expectations of God, they have taken strong drink, they have drunk wine, and they are unable to communicate properly. They are unable to see that God thinks. And I think this is appropriate even today. God pronounced the condition of that people, Ephraim or the nation of Israel, the major part of Israel, He says, you are like this. Your prophets have drunk strong drink and they are not able to communicate to people. And they cannot see even. Now look at today. The Bible says very clearly, the harlot system, that great mother of harlot, drunk with the wine of fornication. What is the wine of fornication? It is a false teaching. You find this false system, they don't have the teaching that brings by the anointing. Strong drinks. The Bible refers to a wine of fornication is the false teachings, false doctrines. And the doctrines of devils. Because of that, like the old time, this priest of Israel, the prophet of Israel, they were not able to see the vision of God. In the same way, this harlot system, the beast system, and the denominations cannot see the truth. And verse 28 says, all the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so there is no place. You know, the tables, all the tables of sacrifice and so-called tables are full of vomit and filthiness. God says to children of Israel, your table are full of filth and vomit. There is no place clean, he tells the children of Israel. I'm sure it's the same way. Today God's looked at all these so-called Christian systems. They are full of filthiness, full of vomit. There is no place clean. That's why Revelation 2:22 says, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit for adultery with her into a great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." He says, "Behold, I will cast her into the bed." This is what the Lord warning, even in today. At that time, He warned the nation of Israel. Where have they gone wrong? They have erred. They have erred in, where have they gone wrong? The priests, because they have taken strong drink, they have gone wrong. They have gone wrong in something. They cannot see the things that God has designed for them. Then, verse 9 says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge?" Now who is asking? Now this particular verse is not what God is telling them, or not Isaiah. It is they are asking this, who the rebels, who these priests who have fallen and drunk, who the disobedient, rebellious Israel, asking from the Lord, whom shall he teach? You know, they are challenging God and says, whom is he going to teach? Whom shall he make to understand this doctrine? These people are challenging God. Them that are weaned from milk, from drawn from the breast, are they going to treat us like children? These rebellious people are challenging God and asking, who is he going to teach? Is he going to teach us like children? This is not God asking, it is these people asking. These false, rebellious people are challenging God in verse 9. And he says, is he thinking that we are like children? Is God thinking like we are children? This is the same status of mind in today's people. They are putting a challenge back to God, to the truth. The challenge says, we have been a Christian for so long. What is he going to tell us? Is he going to tell all these things? That is exactly what happened in the day when Jesus was born. The Pharisees and Sadducees couldn't believe that Jesus was born in a humble place and that he is the Son of God, because they were so arrogant in their status. So in the same way here in verse 9, this rebellious Israel challenging God and saying, Who am I going to teach your doctrine? Then Isaiah is saying to the rebels. Now verse 10 is the prophet Isaiah telling back this rebellious Israel and says, the prophets, the genuine prophets, the Lord's true prophet will always go back to the basics. For the precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Now this is exactly, these people couldn't see. They were indoctrinated with the wine or the strong drink. They couldn't see what God has ordained, precept upon precept, line upon line. So Isaiah reminding these people, once again, he says, God has been giving to you precept upon precept, line upon line, and God will do that. Brothers and sisters, even today we have these Gospels, the Word, so beautifully presented to you and me by the apostles, precept upon precept, line upon line. You know, Jesus told in Matthew 28, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Peter in the day of Pentecost and said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is no difference in these two verses. It is the same thing. It is the precept upon precept, line upon line. When he said, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you need to have the revelation of the name. And thereafter, you find in the scriptures where everything is written according to a proper order. That is why Paul says, let everything done according to all decently and in order. Let nothing be done create confusion. Because God is not the author of confusion, Paul says. There is line upon line, precept upon precept. So the prophet Isaiah is saying to this rebellious Jewish people, Israel, the true prophet will bring once again, you have lost that your precept upon precept, line upon line, the Lord will bring that. In verse 11, and the Lord's warning once again to these rebels, and he is saying with a stammering lips, in other tongues, he will speak to this people. Verse 12, to whom he said, this is the rest, which ye may be caused, ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Again, this war rebels Isaiah, through Isaiah, Lord's telling, there is something that he has prepared for them. And again, God go back to the rebels and tells in Isaiah, reminds them once again that he will not change. It would be precept upon precept, line upon line, and there, and they will not. He says they are a little and they may might go back and fall back and be broken and snared and taken. Because God will not change the order. God has a certain way of order, and he reminding this Jewish rebels who have moved away from that ordinances, status and statutes. And that's exactly you see today. The false systems, the denomination systems, like these Jewish people at that day, they are drunk with the wine of the fornication of the harlot system. And they are moved away from this truth, from the precept upon precept, where the apostles presented to us, under the anointing, they presented to us the truth of this word, which is the foundation of our beginning and our lives. And God will not change that. God will not change. He is repeating the Israelite, where he is not going to do something different. So in the same way, brothers and sisters, in our time, in the last age, it is going to be the same way. When God brought precept upon precept in the day of Pentecost to the first church, and in the same way the Lord is going to bring upon us, who is the bride of Christ, the precept upon precept. And I think this is where we need to have a very clear understanding. And I was just thinking about these verses, and I thank Brother Tom for bringing me these verses. He asked this question, I also didn't really hit me at that time properly. But when I went home, I opened that, and the Lord revealed to me, show it to me, say how he has communicated dialogue between God and the children of Israel, and dialogue between Isaiah, his servant, between these fallen people, and tell their status. And he's telling, you have drunk the wine of, and you cannot understand this order now. Order is mixed up. That's what we see today, brothers and sisters. What is the order who will go to the denominational system? You find the order which is not there in the scriptures. God is not properly known to them. The order is totally different to the way of God's expectations. The Bible says here in this place, they heard in the vision, they cannot see. Verse 7 says they cannot see. They stumble in judgment. God tell about these people. And they say that your tables are full of vomit. And today God is looking at these denominational systems. And He says, this is not I died for. This is not I paid for. I paid for my word, my thought, my deed. And then He says, in fact these people are drunk with so much of strong drink. They are challenging God and says, you know, what is this bunch of people are going to talk about? He's challenging God and Isaiah. In fact, these people, these priests are challenging Isaiah, who bring the word and says, are you going to treat us like children? You know, we are not children. We are adults, we are priests of God, we are prophets of God. You are going to teach us? Why are you bringing these things to us? Again Isaiah repeats, precept upon precept, line upon line. And the Lord reminds through the prophets. And then He says once again, Lord will not change. Brothers and sisters, I must tell you, the Lord will not change. The Bible says yesterday, today, forever, He is the same. He will not change an iota of His word. Because He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, not my word. Yes, that's what He says. If He has laid down an order and a way to do things, it has to be done that way. If we said to be baptized in the name of the Lord, the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit, there is one name, we need to have the revelation, and the name has to be applied. And that's the order of the Lord. And you cannot say, look, I have been a Christian, are you going to say this to us? Am I going to be, you know, born like this? Are you like treating me like a children to be baptized again? You know, we have to be humble enough. I've been baptized previously by denomination, but I was humble enough to understand when the Lord showed the truth. And I'm sure Brother Govind understood yesterday when he took that step, when the God spoke to him and said that this is the revelation. And I think this is exactly what people cannot understand in the system. They will never, because they are drunk with the wine of false doctrines, false teaching, which is mentioned in the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation chapter 10, verse 9, it says, I went to the angel and said unto me, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it, and it shall make thy belly bitter, and it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was my mouth sweet and as honey, and as soon as I had eaten, my belly was bitter. And he said, thou must prophesy again before many people, nations, tongues and kings. You remember, John was in the Isle of Patmos 90 plus years, and then he was isolated in that island, and the anointing of the Lord came, and the Lord unraveled the revelation, which is the book or the love letter to the bride of Christ. Do you know? Book of Revelation, there are many letters Paul given to the church. The revelation is the love letter to the bride. Do you know that? It is the love letter to the bride of Christ. The final love letter. And John, who represented the bride of Christ, he says, angel, give me the little book. And he says, take the little book, eat it. And he says, it will make thy belly bitter, but mouth sweet as honey. You see, brothers, when you take honey, it excites your body. The sweetness, it goes through the whole of your system. But here he says, in the same way, when God reveals the truth, it excites you. It gives an awesome presence of God. But when the truth is revealed, when it is the truth, when you have to do it, it needs lot of commitment to obey it. And sometimes when the truth of God is revealed, it is sweet to you. But when it is taken and exercise it, it is a bitter experience sometimes. And then he says, after eating, he says, okay, I took the book and I ate. It was my mouth. John was telling. And then the angel said to John, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and things. John did not live to do that. John did not live to do that. He the one who ate the book. But John was not there to fulfill this part. He says, you must prophesy before many people, nations and tongues and kings. And that's why, brothers and sisters, in the last days, that God has raised the fivefold ministry, the watchman for the bride of Christ, which would have the anointing and bring forth that book before people, before nations, before tongues, before kings. And brothers and sisters, I know that we have taken a long time during this year and the previously year when bringing the book of Revelation, when we studied the seven church ages, when we studied the seven seals, and we begin to understand the book of Revelation, everything there is, and many others in the denominational Christianity do not understand. And it is the spirit of the prophecy. It is the spirit of the prophecy that little book becomes the love letter for you and me, so that our lives would align ourselves to God's divine requirement. God is not going to inform everyone in the religious world. Only the bride of Christ is going to be informed of the prophecy concerning imminent coming of the Lord. There are so many things, brothers and sisters, that you and I need to come to understand our status. We will have the same anointing like the apostles. And when that anointing comes upon us, brothers and sisters, you and I would be a participants of the ministry of the spoken word. The ministry of the spoken word. We have this now. And this word is going to come upon us, and you and I are going to speak the word that would edify, that would sanctify, that will bring life. John, who received the revelation, is a type of the ministry of the watchman, who has eaten the little book and now bring forth the word, be sweet in the mouth, honey, mouth as honey, and bitter in the belly. This message will awaken the bride when they see the truth of the word, that of course is sweet as honey. Only in obedience it is difficult, will make it perfect. And I think, brothers and sisters, one of the reasons that the Lord brings the truth of His word is to eliminate falsehood. And if hitherto we have been following certain false ways, false procedures, false precepts, and the truth of the Lord awakens. That's exactly I did. That's exactly Brother Tom, Govind and Sriyan, Ravi, all of us in this congregation has done. When we were awakened to the truth, we see the light of it, and we took that step. Sometimes it's a difficult step. It looks sweet. It's nice. It is the truth. But when it is actualized in my life, in your life, we need to get rid of the false things. And it is not an easy thing. It is a difficult thing. And that is exactly, brothers and sisters, this truth is presented. And Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Is that true? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You will never be in bondage. We have been in bondage to the falsehood, false teachings, false guidance, false directions. And hitherto when the Lord reveals that, we drop that off. And it is going to be bitter in our belly. It's a bitter experience. Once a little element of people here on the planet Earth are united, are thinking as one, living as one, second part of Malachi prophecy is being fulfilled. You see, in the Malachi, there are two aspects to that prophecy. He said that he will turn the hearts of the children, hearts of the fathers to the children, before the great day. Before the great day, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And then before the great and dreadful day, which is, we are before the dreadful day, brothers and sisters, when we had the great day, when Jesus came upon the scene 2000 years ago, it was a great day in Bethlehem. And in that great day in Bethlehem, John the Baptist and the message that Jesus brought turned the hearts of the fathers, the apostles, Jewish fathers, fathers of the Jewish nation, to become the children once again of the children of God. And that is before the great day. Now we are before the dreadful day of the Lord. The dreadful things are going to take place. And then we are going to be turned, the children's heart, back to the apostolic fathers, brothers and sisters. The apostolic fathers means what the apostles meant to the Lord. What they did, everything in deed and in word. When the task of the fivefold ministry come to close, the bride of Christ, who is led by the Spirit of God, they are ready for the thunders. You know, in each stage, the Lord have certain responsible key people. John came to the scene, he fulfilled that, and he quietly moved out, and he said that he must increase, that I must decrease. And he told his disciples, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. And then he said, he must increase, that I must decrease. You know what happens? The order of the Lord is, he has certain people. Even the each church age, there were messengers. When finally Martin Luther came, he thought with the justification. And then when he moved, in his shadow came the John Wesley, both sanctification. And when John Wesley moved away, and then came in the year 1906, the minister of the same, 1906, the Holy Spirit came. You see, one by one, step by step, the Lord restores. So what happens is, this fivefold ministry would fulfill their responsibilities. When the fivefold ministry fulfill their responsibilities, the body of Christ would have the unity of faith, means the full understanding of the design of the word or the thought of God. See eye to eye. And they would have the full knowledge of the Son of God who is their life. And they would have come to a perfect man. And they will come to the perfect man. They would have the measure. They would measure right measure. They will not measure 5 kilos less or 5 kilos more. They will have the right measure. And they will have the stature. You need to have the stature to see. Statures do things. The final ministry, seven thunders begins. Right, get the understanding what those thunders speak. It will acquaint her with coming of the Lord, and they are living in the time frame. I think, brothers and sisters, I think what the Lord is doing to us is, He is giving us some knowledge, a very clear knowledge of the insight of His word and the timing of things. Watch. Jesus said in His closing, watch. He said, watch. What are you going to watch? There are many things for you to watch. What is happening? What is happening in the beast system? What is happening in the Europe? What is happening in other parts? Which will bring us to this. In Thessalonians 4, 1 Thessalonians 4 it says, for this say unto you by the word of the Lord, we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them but with our sleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That ministry has finished in the mid-1950s when God sent the messenger to the seventh church to bring back to the word. And then we have the voice of the archangel, which is the prophetic ministry, which is the ministry when He gave it to John, says prophesy before people, before men, before tongues, the fivefold ministry. And then finally it is a trump, which is the seventh thunder's ministry. The Bible said, dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we are alive, shall remain, shall be caught up together with them in the air. So we shall be ever be with the Lord. I am sure, brothers and sisters, the good Lord is working towards that for you and me. Many people even don't understand these three scriptures. They are not even bothered to understand. They are not bothered even to know what is the shout, what is the voice, what is the trump. Has the Lord descended? This, they don't understand these three ministries. How can they prepare themselves? Because the bride has to be prepared. In the epistle written by Paul, he's always dealing with the fact that the body of Christ is a mystical body, which is church. When Paul wrote these epistles, he had nothing in mind about the foolish virgins or white rope chains in the book of Revelation. You see, in the book of Paul's epistles, he always talks about not the wheat and not the tares, but he talks about the bride. He writes to this epistle to the bride. God used Paul in communicating His Gentile to Gentile bride when the nation of Israel rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. Revelation says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him that the marriage of the Lamb is come and His wife has made herself ready. We are the bride, we are the body. He says the wife has made herself ready. Where? Right here. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. The fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Remember, it is not white robes, it is fine linen. The bride of Christ made of herself, once again she is gone, but the right here on earth she will make herself ready in day-to-day life. John portrayed her as being clothed in fine linen, white and clean, though many have assumed they read about the white robe, is always talking about the white robe, does not talk about the bride, fine linen. Bride is always identified with the fine linen, not with white robes. You would not see bride on time project, you would not see the bride on time projected in fine linen. In one time, in you don't see one time she's in fine linen, next time you don't see her in white robes. It is fine linen right throughout. You see, when God told Moses to make the tabernacle, you see, moreover thou shalt make the tabernacle 10 curtains in fine twin linen. You find the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies is the fine linen separate the Holy of Glories, their rest. When the tabernacle in the wilderness was made, when the holy place of the Ark of the Covenant sat there, the holy place was surrounded by the fine linen. This goes to show that God would not dwell behind just any type of material. It is to be the fine linen. Remember, God dwells behind the fine linen, not on any other material. Remember this. You remember here, This is the Holy of Holies, which is the Ark of the Covenant. And this veil, this curtain is the fine linen. This curtain, this is the outer area. This inner area is the Holy of Holies, which is the very presence of God. So this curtain is fine linen. This side is the presence of God, is the Ark of the Covenant. You see, that is where this side here, this is where the presence of God. So brothers and sisters, it's very clear, the body of Christ or the bride of Christ, the garment she would have is fine linen, clean and white, and that is exactly it. So we are going to be priests and we are going to be kings, and we shall reign, because fine linen is the garment of kings and priests. The fine linen is the garment of kings and priests, and we are going to be that. So remember this. We are not here. We are not in this. This is reserved for somebody else. Probably these foolish virgins are in this area. We are behind this fine linen, where the Ark of the Covenant, where the very presence of God take place. We are the part of the true body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We have the anointing of God. We have the unction of God. And that anointing will, brothers and sisters, will make us part and parcel of the spoken word ministry. Let's pray. As we spend few moments, brothers and sisters, I want you to remember the garment that God has given to you is fine linen. Not a white garment, it's a fine linen. And it is behind that God's divine hand. And the anointing that God gives to you and me would complete, and that we would have that power of God being demonstrated in us. Father, I pray for this time, speaking to us, ministering to us, and I pray, Lord, that you begin to reveal yourself to us in a very special way. As this series of studies on the body of Christ come to a conclusion, and I pray, Lord, these words that is presented here would nourish thy people, Father. I pray, Lord, that you minister unto them in a very special way. Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship and worship and the study of thy word, which is the truth. And I pray, Lord, that your word would not return without fulfilling the design that you had, Father. And I thank you, Father, for the grace that you have given to all of us to open your word and understand the truth, Father. Now I pray, Lord, this truth would go forth in the mighty power upon the people here, Lord, which are constituting the bride of Christ, the body of you, Lord. And now, Father, that the minister of the spoken word would bring forth life into one another, where we can see eye to eye in the things of the kingdom. Pray in Jesus' name. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of us. May his presence go before you, beside you. May he keep you in the center of his divine plan and purpose and will. May he let his face shine upon you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. And God bless you.